Matthew chapter number 24, verses 4 through 15, and today it will focus on verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Our topic is signs of his coming. This
yes,
is
sir.
Part number 4.
Amen.
Christian persecution.
Yes, bless him, Lord.
Christian persecution. According to Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, to persecute means to afflict or harass constantly so as to injure or distress. We know that persecution is no stranger to Christians. In fact, our Lord himself was the first within our faith that was persecuted and killed. The apostles too were persecuted, and they were also killed. And here's what's generally thought, how each of them died. Peter was crucified upside down during the period of Nero, around AD 66. The apostle Paul was beheaded under Nero during the same period as Peter's death. Andrew preached in Turkey, also in Greece, and most likely the Soviet Union, where he was revered as the founder of the Christian church in that region. He was crucified. Thomas preached in India, where he too is today revered as a church founder. He was killed by a spear when a local king was angered over people being converted to Christianity. Philip was killed by a Roman governor when his wife converted to Christianity because of his preaching. He preached in Carthage and what is now modern-day Turkey. Matthew preached in Persia or Iran and also Ethiopia. He's thought to have been stabbed to death after criticizing an Ethiopian king's morals. James the Less, who was the head of the church, was outlived only by John. He was stoned and then clubbed to death. Thaddeus, or Jude, was crucified at a place called Edessa, which is located in Turkey and or Greece. Simon the Canaanite preached on the west coast of Africa and England. He was crucified. James the Great was killed by Herod in a gesture to please the Romans. Tradition has it that James' accuser repented on the spot and asked to be executed along with him. Both of them were beheaded. Bartholomew also preached in India and translated the Gospel of Matthew. He was beaten and crucified by idolaters. John, as you know, was sentenced to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the gospel during the time of Domitian. However, he didn't die on that island, praise God, although some say he was boiled in oil, but survived. He died of natural causes. Praise God. So this was the apostles. They, the original 12, we know how Judas died, but the original 12, all of these men were persecuted for their belief in Jesus and for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other accounts of Christians being persecuted have been well documented. One of them was during the great fire of Rome under Nero. Many speculated that the emperor set the fire himself so that he could begin an ambitious building project. You know, he's the one who did all of this because he wanted to build in his own name. Well, to deflect those rumors, he blamed the fire on Christians and began a major persecution campaign. Christians under Nero were hung on poles in the city, and they were burned to death to serve as lights for the city. Others were placed in animal skins. They were then, after putting animal skins on them, they were fed to the dogs or to the lions. Some Roman emperors wanted Christians to denounce their faith so that they could accept the Roman gods or the emperors as their god. If they failed to do so, they were immediately killed. Under one of the emperors, they were told they needed to have a witness and a certification, some kind of certificate. They had to actually denounce their faith in Jesus. Some say this occurred where some of the people wanted to make money off Christians. So what they would do, they would sell these certificates to the Christians. And it put the Christians in a dilemma. You buy the certificate for a price, or you refuse and you die. One or the other. Now, we're not dealing with that kind of open persecution, at least in this country. But according to the organization Open Doors, which tracks the level and instances of Christian persecution around the world, these are some statistics that indicate and show what's going on around the world regarding persecution today in 2021. Every month, these are the statistics that are occurring. Every month, 400 Christians are killed for their faith. Every month, somewhere in the world, 400 Christians, that's about 5,000 Christians a year, are killed for their faith. Every month, an average of 374 Christian properties or churches are destroyed. Every month, 374. Every month, 356 believers, are either detained without trial, they are either arrested or imprisoned. 356 every month. Open Doors produces a country by country watch list for Christian persecution. And North Korea has topped that list for the past 20 years. North Korea is the worst example of blatant and open Christian persecution in the world. Since the country is so closed, which means we don't have the ability to go in there and find out what's really going on, it is difficult to gain access and verify all the information. But it is said that many Christians are confined in what we would call modern day concentration camps throughout all of North Korea. Christians cannot display any open evidence of their faith. If you got a cross on, I'm sorry, you're going to be taken to the concentration camp. Even children, and this is the worst part, children are being asked to report their parents to their teachers if there are any violations of the law of their parents showing any signs of Christianity in the home. Glory to God. Now, I know it's hard to imagine that such a thing is going on right under our noses in 2021. But unfortunately, these things are happening. Even here in our country, in this country, the United States of America, and in other Western world countries, Christians are starting to feel isolated and out of the mainstream. Popular thought suggests that our views are outdated and intolerant. Recently, I received an email from the North Carolina Council of Churches, and they want faith leaders like myself. They're asking us to stand up and support the LGBTQ Non-Discrimination Act that's currently going before the North Carolina Senate. Praise God. Can you imagine a religious organization called the North Carolina Council of Churches want us as pastors to stand up and say that we support non-discrimination bill against lesbians, bisexuals, gays, transgender, and queers. They want us to stand up and say, we support this legislation. And if we don't, they're basically putting us in the category of being a bigot. You're intolerant of others' rights because you won't support these kinds of things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I'm going to hate anybody because the Lord tells me to love everybody. Amen. The Lord tells me it is my duty, my responsibility to love everybody. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to stand up and support what people do.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Rhetoric like that relegates those of us who don't support this as being outside of the mainstream. We're not with it. Although for now, though, in this country, we don't come anywhere close to experiencing, as I said earlier, the level of persecution that I described. The trends are pointing to the fact that a change is coming. Mm-hmm. Jesus made it clear that there will come a day when extreme persecution will be the order of the day for all Christians. He said we would be hated of all nations for his sake. That means we would be isolated, set apart, and not given the same treatment as others who don't name Christ as their Savior. The Lord made it clear that we will be afflicted, which means in the Greek, experiencing anguish, burden, tribulation, and trouble. In addition, the Lord said we would be killed. So don't think this level of persecution cannot happen here. It can. Why can it happen? Because Jesus said it.
That's right.
Glory. The only question is whether it will be before or after the Great Tribulation. That's the only question. I don't have that answer. I do know extreme persecution will occur during the Great Tribulation.
That's right.
I do know that because scripture speaks of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But it is possible that before the rapture occurs, there could be extreme persecution against Christians.
Right.
It's possible. Not to say it's going to happen, because I don't know. But all I'm saying is, if Jesus said it, it is possible.
That's right.
Jesus made it clear to his disciples in John chapter number 15 and verse number 20 that they would experience the same level of persecution that he experienced. He said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You are not exempt from being persecuted. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, starting at verse number 1, that dangerous and grievous times would come in the latter days.
Mm-hmm.
These dangerous times will be for Christians in particular. It is a warning to watch and to be vigilant and to hold fast to what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
It is a warning to not become complacent in our walk with Jesus Christ. I want everybody to understand, it is easy, especially now, for us to be mediocre and complacent about our walk with Christ.
Amen.
Now, what do I mean by that? What I'm saying is, it's easy for us to take our walk with Christ for granted.
Right.
It's easy for us to walk around and be influenced by what's going on in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Look at social media right now. I never thought, when Facebook was first introduced, I never thought that it was going to have the influence that it's having today. I never thought that things like Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and whatever else they got that's coming along was going to have the influence on people's minds that this is happening. Now you say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. How do you know that it's having such an influence? There are people who cannot go a few minutes without looking at their phone.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
They make a post. They put a post on Facebook and they're looking to see how many likes they get. They're trying their best to come up with some wording so that they can get something that's going to go what they call viral.
Yep. Yep, that's true.
I want to get as many people as can to like what I say.
Yep.
Glory to God. I never thought that this kind of thing would happen. But the Bible speaks of a strong delusion that is going to happen. And I believe we're in the middle and in the midst of the strong delusion.
Amen.
That people will believe a lie.
Amen.
That people will mistake. In fact, there's no mistake. They just don't believe the truth. They would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth.
Amen.
And if people are like that, my God, I know that what this scripture says is going to be true.
Right.
And it's coming to pass.
Right.
The Lord said it best when he said in John 15:9 that we are not of the world, because the world loves its own. And because we have been chosen by God and taken out of the world, the Lord says the world hates us. Don't get lulled into sleep thinking that you are special to the world. Because Jesus said you're not. You're special to God, but you're not special to the world.
That's right. Amen.
People have a tendency, they'll eat you up and spit you out.
Amen.
You're good today, but tomorrow they don't want to have anything to do with you. Amen. Praise God. So don't go around thinking you want everybody to like you, because the Bible lets us know everybody's not going to like you. If you live holy, everybody's not going to like you. I'm not saying for you to be nasty to anybody, because you should not be nasty to anybody. You should be nice to everybody. But even if you're being nice, there will be people who will hate you.
That's right.
Glory to God. A final thing in today's text, and I'm over my time, and I know, I'm sorry, but the final thing in today's text that Jesus warned against was the fact that many would be offended and there would be betrayals. Now, to me, this sounds a lot like what was going on during the Nazi era, where Jews were being betrayed by their neighbors, when the SS guards were trying to locate all of those from Jewish heritage. What they wanted to do was to corral as many Jews as they could and take them to the concentration camps. Now, you had people who were beforehand friends, people who were beforehand colleagues, but afterwards they were betraying one another. But I thank God that even during Nazi era, there were stories where others were helping the Jews, and they were protecting and housing some of them. But the horror of it all was, through the efforts of the Nazis, almost 6 million Jews were killed during this horrific period. Due to the climate that will be established when all of this will occur, it is possible, I say it's possible because I don't know for sure, but it is possible that a similar type of betrayal and hatred will also occur. People may point out who the Christians are for detainment and execution. They will think they are doing a good thing because they will be getting rid of all the so-called troublemakers. Unfortunately, people who were heretofore neighbors, heretofore friends, may become divided and enemies one of another. Now, I know this is very difficult to conceive of, how this level of persecution may occur, but I'm sure those who were in pre-Nazi Germany didn't think that they would believe what they believed and treat people the way they did during the Nazi era. This message, as does the others that I have preached and the ones that are coming later, they will serve as a warning for you and me, so that we would open our eyes and see what's going on right now and what will happen and could happen in the future.
Amen.
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 Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I know you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And that's true. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. However, this is one thing I do know. I know what God's word says.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when you see the word,
yes,
I believe the word. I believe the word when it comes to this, just like I believe the word when God says you will be blessed in the city,
right,
and you will be blessed in the field.
Yes, Lord.
You will be blessed coming in,
Lord,
and you will be blessed going out.
Right.
I believe God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
So I believe the word.
Yes.
And when Jesus speaks, it's important for us to listen,
yes,
to what the Lord says. And it's important for us to not have selective hearing.
Right.
We only
right
want to hear what we want to hear, and the rest we discard. Saints, I'm telling you, let's hear the whole word.
Right.
And let's do the whole word.
Amen.
I know I said it last week, and I'll probably say it again next week. I know this is not easy to hear. I know that. I understand that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you for it. It's not easy to preach either. This kind of thing is difficult because what I'm telling you is I believe Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
I believe Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
Amen.
So if I know that a hurricane is off the core, is off of the coast of North Carolina, headed to Curry, and it's a Category 5 hurricane, I'm going to tell you, you need to evacuate because the hurricane is coming.
Yeah.
Why do you need to evacuate? Because if you don't, it could kill you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, what I'm telling you now is Jesus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is coming.
Yes.
Get your house in order. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Have your eyes wide open. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your ears. Be ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
these are part of the signs of coming of the Lord. Saints of God, I love you. I love you with all my heart. And I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. I want you to get your family ready when Jesus comes. I want you to get your friends ready when Jesus comes. When you know, as I said earlier, that something bad is about to occur, you tell as many people as you can.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You tell as many as you can. Man, are you ready for this hurricane? Have you made preparation for this hurricane? If you have not, you need to get ready. Because I don't want anything bad to happen to you. It's the same with the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming, man.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to meet him? If you're not ready, get ready.
Get ready.
Come on, get ready. Do you have a church? No, I don't have a church. Come on to my church. We're going to love on you. We're going to help you. I'm going to help you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life so you can live a holy life and be ready when Jesus comes back. I'll say this and then I'm done. I was playing golf with this individual and he told me all about his experiences with the church, and I think I mentioned this before. He said, you know, I've been to this church, I've been to that church, I've been to the other church, and every church that I've been to, there have been major problems. And he said, I've told myself I'm sick and tired of church, and that's it, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I told him, I said, it is no coincidence that God placed me here with you.
Right. Amen. Amen.
It is no coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to speak to you.
Right.
Amen.
Every church is not like the ones you had problems
with. All right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're not all, and every pastor is not trying to sleep with his members.
Right.
Amen.
Every pastor is not trying to take all the money from the church.
Amen.
Every pastor is not trying to do all this other nonsense that you talked about. We are here. There's some of us that believe what we preach.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm asking him, come on over to my house. Come over to this house.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you've got friends and family that are like this, tell them to come on over to this house.
Amen.
We can give you the word of God.
Amen.
And help you so that you can move forward in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.
May heaven smile upon you is my